Amen. What a joy it is to be here today. And I woke up this morning trying to figure out where I was at. And I just got back last night actually from Nova Scotia. And so anyway, of course that was about 2 days without going to sleep, trying to get home in a blizzard. And I honestly didn't think I was going to be able to get home because we had to drive over an hour, or 2 hours rather, to get to the airport. And it was a mess. But anyway, the Lord heard and got us back. And it's good to be with you folks here this morning. And it's a joy to serve the Lord. It's the greatest life you'll ever live, is just give yourself to Jesus Christ. Get born again, get saved, and then serve Him with your life. If you only got one, you might as well serve Him and give Him everything you got. And you just never know what the Lord will do with you. You say, God can't use me. He's specializing in using nobodies. That's who He uses. If you got it all together, amen, He's probably going to have to humble you down a little bit. But He uses just nobodies, amen, and makes them a somebody, amen, that'll tell everybody about the somebody that'll save anybody. That's the Lord. And so it's good to be here this morning. And we love your pastor. Been praying for Brother Hoots for some time now. And I text him from time to time, normally once a week, and just let him know we're praying for him. And I know you've been praying for him. And I know you're looking forward to getting him back in the pulpit, getting him back here. And we thank the Lord for His providential hand in leading and guiding and directing that whole surgery. And looking forward to great reports down the road. Turn your Bible to the book of Hosea this morning. To the book of Hosea. And Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. It's right past the book of Daniel. It would be considered a minor prophet in the Word of God. But if you begin to read this book and you begin to study it, you find that there's nothing minor in the book at all. It's all major stuff going on. And I'm looking forward this morning to digging right here in this passage of Scripture and what the Lord has for us this morning. It's not a very familiar book, and honestly, it's not preached from a whole lot. But there's a much in this book this morning that I believe the Lord will help us in the Word of God. Let's look at a few verses. Hosea in chapter number 1. And I'll just read the first two verses, and then we're going to look at all three of the first three chapters here, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, and we're going to draw out some truth, and I'm just going to try to rear back and preach to you a little bit this morning, amen? I still believe in preaching. Preaching still gets the job done, and God chose it. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, and amen. In the last days, the Bible says they will not endure sound doctrine. And we're living in those days. It's amazing. Even in our good independent Baptist churches, you can feel Laodicea creeping in. People don't want preaching anymore. They want teaching. They want skits. They want programs. They want all of the things that the world has to offer in this new age religion that we're living in. But preaching will still get the job done. I'm here this morning because a man of God preached to me, amen, about a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I got saved because of preaching. I got called by God into the ministry because a man of God preached. Amen. I got right with God when I got backslid and went to the world for a little while as a teenager. I got right with God because a man preached to me. Amen. I stay right because of preaching. You say, why'd God put you in the ministry? Because He knew I need to be in church about every night to hear preaching. Amen. Because I'm such a backslid devil. Amen. All right. Hosea chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jehoram, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The Bible says in verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, now this is his prophet, and this is an interesting thing that he told him. He said, Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. The Bible says, so he went and took Gomer, verse 3, the daughter of Dibleim, which conceived and bare him a son. We're going to look at this book this morning, and I want to say that this is one of the most beautiful love stories in all of the Bible. When you begin to read it, you find that this story of Hosea the prophet and Gomer, this woman who was, the Bible says, was a whore that God told Hosea to take to be his wife, shows us a beautiful picture this morning of love and betrayal and whoredom and grace and redemption. These chapters describe to us God's righteous dealings with the nation of Israel. This is not this morning just a picture of God's dealing and drawing with the nation of Israel, but it's a picture of God's love and God's dealings and God's drawings towards sinful man. As a matter of fact, when you begin to study the book of Hosea, you find in the Bible that there are names in the Bible. When you get to the book of Chronicles, we find lists of names. And sometimes when you're reading, you think, why in the world would God put all of these names in the Bible? Why are these particular people named certain things? And you find that as you study the Word of God, that names were not given by accident, but rather they have a meaning. And when you study the book of Hosea, you find that Hosea, the name Hosea, it means salvation. It means salvation, and Hosea is tied to the Old Testament name Joshua, which is tied to the New Testament name Jesus. Hosea is a picture this morning of Jesus Christ reaching out towards fallen and sinful man to redeem them and to restore them and to reconcile mankind back to Himself. This book has a running theme, if you will, this morning. The running narrative is God's offering of salvation to a people who don't even think they need it. Now, I want to say this morning, there's some people like that in here this morning. God is reaching out to some of you, and you might be a church member, you might be a church brat, you might be a pastor's child or a deacon's child, or your dad and mom's been in this church their whole life. And can I say, amen, God does not have any grandchildren, He just has children. You cannot get to heaven on mama's dress, amen, tail, or daddy's coattail. Ye must be born again, Jesus said. And so we see that God is trying to redeem mankind back to Himself. God delights in giving salvation this morning to dirty, rotten, filthy, sinful, no good for nothing men, women, boys, and girls. And God this morning delights in nothing more than taking old and used and abused sinners that the world has used and thrown away and then saving them by His marvelous grace. God takes those who have no value. God takes those who have been used up and thrown away, just like Gomer was, and He reaches down and He saves them by His marvelous grace and then turns them into what we call trophies of grace. So man, you have no idea where they used to be, where they used to go, who they used to hang out with, but now look at them. I tell you what they are. They're trophies of grace. Now let's look at this text this morning. In chapter number 1, I want you to see here what I call a tragic story. This is a very tragic story. In chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, I'll read it again. The Bible says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. So Hosea goes, the Bible says, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibleim, which conceived and bear him a son. God tells Hosea, his prophet, to go and marry a prostitute. He said, marry a woman of whoredoms and have children illegitimately from whoredoms. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. Look at what he said. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them, hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me of my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and mine drink. Here Hosea loves somebody who will not return that love back to him. You know, this morning there's nothing that hurts worse than to try to love someone who won't love you back. That won't return that love. Though you try and love them and you try to be close to them, they reject you and your love. They mock you and your love. They ridicule you and your love towards them. They throw that love back in your face. I want to say there's nothing that hurts worse than rejected love. And so God gives Hosea some special insight on how he feels this morning. The Bible says in John 3:16, we all know it, we learned it as a child. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
But you read later on in chapter number 3 of John, in the same chapter we all quoted, and the Bible says, but rather than men loving God, men did not love God, but the Bible says they loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Paul told the church at Rome in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His what? His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John 4 verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and He sent His only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Nothing hurts worse than to reach out to sinful man. Nothing hurts the heart of God worse than that. And to offer them salvation, the hand of salvation, sent, amen, down from glory. And that's what God did. He sent His heavenly Hosea, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross of Calvary. He shed His precious blood. He resurrected Himself from the dead. He is seated this morning at the right hand of the Father. And He extends His love, only for that love, many times, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday night and Wednesday night, that love to be rejected by those whom He loved so much. You see, God gave heaven's best for earth's worst, only for fallen man who loves, He loves so much this morning, to reject that love and to mock that love and to turn their back on the Lord, amen, and the hand that He extended to them in this life. And I want to say thank God for the mercy and the grace and the hand of God that reached down for me this morning. Some of y'all sat here this morning, you know what you're doing? You're rejecting it. You'll reject God's wonderful salvation, rejecting the great love, the forgiveness that only God can give. Look at chapter 2, verse number 8. I'm talking about a tragic story. In chapter 2, verse 8, Hosea had been good to Gomer. If you read it, the Bible says she didn't even recognize his goodness to her in chapter 2, verse number 8. For she did not know, look at this, that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. You see, all that she did, she took all the blessings that Hosea had placed in her life, the goodness of Hosea, and used it for wickedness. Can I say this morning, church, the Bible says every good gift in the book of James, and y'all been studying in Sunday school, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. This morning you might not even recognize it, but God's been good to you. God's been good to me this morning. The fact that we woke up and we had the health to come to church and you have a place to worship God. God's been good to you this morning. And yet He's been good to Gomer. And Gomer didn't even recognize all the blessings, amen. You see, this morning the air that you breathe is from God, amen. The blood running through your veins, the clothes on your back, the shoes on your feet, the money in your pocket, the food in your belly, the job that you have this morning, the vehicle that you rode in here this morning. And it's just the goodness and the mercy of God. It's the good grace of God. And some of you have forgotten about it. So easy to forget about it, isn't it? Not even to realize that all the things that we enjoy, many times instead of recognizing where the blessings came from, we poke our chest out and say, I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I got here, I pulled my bootstraps up, I worked hard, man, I've got this ability. Listen, you wouldn't have been where you're at if it was not for the goodness and the mercy of God in your life. It's God that did it. Whatever you got this morning, if you got it, it's God and Him alone. And yet we find that she did not even realize it. Hosea said, all that she had, I gave to her. And she took it and she wasted it in the world. What a tragic story. But then in chapter number 2, we find, as we read the tragic story, we move on in chapter 2 to a tearful suggestion. In chapter 2, verse number 1, Hosea says this to his children. He says, say ye unto your brethren, am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. He said this, look at it now. Plead with your mother, plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. And he goes on, he says to his children, he says, plead with your mother. He says, compel her, He sounds like what Jesus told us as the New Testament church to his disciples. Go ye into all the world. Go ye into highways and hedges and compel them to come in. He said to his children, do whatever you gotta do to get your mama to come home. Do whatever you gotta do. I mean, what a heartbreaking scene. Can you see Hosea? His heart is broken, and these children, they walk down to their mother, the one who had borne them, the one who had cradled them, the one who had nursed them, the one whom had held them, and now they're grown up and they've watched her as she has literally ripped their daddy's heart right out of his chest. And he tells his children, he said, beg mama to just come home. By the way, that's what I'm preaching on this morning. There's no place like home. That's what Dorothy said. Amen. Remember when she clicked her heels together? There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Listen, Dorothy had it right. And this morning, amen, she found out later on that there truly is no place like home. What a heartbreaking scene. These children go to their mother and they beg her to come home. And yet after all the pleadings and all the tears and all of the remorse, these tears of our children saying, we miss you, mama. We miss you, and daddy misses you, only for her face to be stoic, or her face to be hard, and for her heart to be of stone, and for her to reject a gracious and glorious invitation given through the children of Hosea. Do you see the picture this morning? Hosea is a picture of God, and his children going to reconcile the people. What a wonderful picture this morning of the New Testament church. When I read this, this is a picture of you and I, what we're supposed to be, what we're doing right now. Matter of fact, this is what I'm doing right now. I'm pleading with you. Hey man, come home. Come home. There's nothing out there in the world that's worth living for. There's nothing out there that'll satisfy. There's no place like home. That's what God's men do when they preach to sinners and saints alike. Amen. They say there's no place like home. We stand as God's men in Christ's stead, beseeching you to be reconciled to God. And now I'm pleading with you, please come home. Oh, can I say this morning, there's no place like home. Listen, and this morning it's not just a message to saved people or to lost people. This is a message to saved people. You say, I don't need this. I'm already saved. I'm not out there. Listen, sometimes we go back. We backslide. And listen, God wants us to come home. All I can do is plead. As God's man, as God's minister, only thing I can do is plead. And sometimes the sad reality is, as I preach across the world, many times you watch people, they just sit there. They're not moved. They just sit, I mean, with their arms crossed. And just stoic. Amen. It's like they come into church and they put a do not disturb sign on the end of their pew. And their theme song is, I shall not be moved. It ought not to be that way, church. Amen. He's pleading. He sends his children, plead with your mother. And she rejects it. You know what I found out? I can cry. I can holler. I can be quiet. I can preach loud. I can preach long. Amen. Listen, we can do all that. We can compel people to come home. But the sad reality of it is this. There's nobody that can get people to come home like he can. God steps into your life. He can get your attention. Amen. He can deal with you better than any man, any woman, any boy or girl can deal with you. What's it going to take to get Gomer to come home? What a tragic story in this tearful suggestion. After all that they said, she rejects the compelling invitation from her own children with many tears of sorrow. She rejects her own children and she turns and she stays in the world. So we find here this tragic story and this tearful suggestion. But then I want to end the message with this. And I want to thank God for what happened in chapter number 3. Because I see here a triumphant search. A triumphant search. You see, it's going to take more than a message from the preacher compelling people to come home. It's going to take, as I said at the beginning of the message, the name Hosea means salvation. It's going to take salvation himself. And you know what Hosea said? Hosea said, if you want something done right, just do it yourself. You ever heard somebody say that? If you want something done right, just do it yourself. I mean, he had sent his children to plead and they had done it and mama ain't coming home. So finally, Hosea steps in and he said, hey, I'm just going to go after her myself. I like it what the Bible says in chapter 2, verses 6. Look at this. He said, therefore, chapter 2, verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. Verse 7, and she shall follow after her lovers. She's going to keep on going after them. But look at what the Bible says. But she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I like this, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better than me, for me, than now. Can I stop right here and say this? I'm so thankful for the times in my life when I wanted to go after my own way. I had my own path. I had my own desires. I had my sights set on the things of this world that I wanted. And man, I mean, I was going after them. The preacher wasn't going to stop me. I wasn't listening to mama and daddy. I was going after what I wanted, just like Gomer was going after what she wanted. But the Bible said Hosea put some hedges in her life. She went after them, but she just couldn't get to them. You know, that's how much God loves you this morning. He's after some people, and man, you just can't seem to get what you want. Hey, that's the good hand of God trying to stop you, amen, to get you to places where you say, you know what? Sin is stronger than good sense, and sin will make you stupid. It will. It'll just make you plumb stupid. Amen. It's not worth the trade. And you get to the place in your life, there's all these hedges, and you're trying to go down your path this way. You're trying to go down your path this way, but there's just hedges you can't bust through. And finally you say, you know what? I'm going back to the house, because it was better way back there at the house, at the church house, when I was right with God, I was serving God, I was listening to preaching, I was going to the altar, I was singing the songs of Zion. It was a whole lot better then than it was now. Aren't you glad for the hedges of God in your life? And here Hosea is. He steps into her life. And in chapter 3, verse number 1, look at this. Then, I love it. Don't you love the Bible? Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, for a homer of barley and a half a homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Hosea said, if you want something done right, just do it yourself. And he said, I've come, Gomer, I've come to take you home. By the way, this message, I've already said it. It's not just for lost people. This is for all of us. You see, there's people sitting in here this morning. You're saved by the grace of God. You know you're saved and going to heaven when you die. But you know this morning your walk with God's not what it used to be. Used to, you'd read your Bible and you'd pray. And man, you love going to church and you love getting there early and staying late. And you love the people of God. You love giving. You love giving to missions. You just loved everything about what we're doing this morning. But your heart's growing away from the Lord. And it's kind of like that song that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. This morning, the Lord is pleading from Jesus Christ this morning. Come home. Come home. Come home, saint. Come home, child of God. Oh, listen, come home this morning. Come find a place. Amen. At an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I'm sick of my sin. I'm sick of myself. I'm sick of my way. Oh, God, I just want to come home, because then was it better than it is now. You say, you don't know what I've done, Brother Brian. Listen, I don't know what you've done. I don't know what your last name is. But I can say this with confidence this morning. You ain't done near as much as Gomer did to Hosea. I mean, she was way on out there. She committed adultery on him. She ran away from him. She started living after other gods. And yet God told Hosea, he said, still love her. I mean, still go after her. He said, go tell her that you want her. Tell her you'll forgive her and you'll wipe the slate clean. And if she'll just come home, that you'll forgive all of her sins. And you'll take her home and you'll love her with all the love that you got. So what did he do here in chapter number 3? We find this triumphant search. Number 1, she was sought out. in chapter number 1, or chapter 3, verse number 1, look at what he said. The Lord said unto me, go, I like the next word, yet. He said, go in spite of all she's done. I mean, nobody is too bad for God to save. So don't use that as an excuse this morning. There's no sin that's too black for the red blood of God that couldn't wash it white as snow. He said, go looking for her. He said, I don't care where she is. I don't care how long she's been down there. I don't care how nasty that she is. You know what Jesus said about himself in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse number 10? He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know the whole reason why Jesus came? It was not to establish a kingdom on this earth. That's what he's coming to do the next time he comes. The whole reason he came the first time was to seek and to save that which was lost. And just because he's seated on the right hand of the Father does not mean that he is through searching. You read the book of Revelation, you'll find that he walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which are the seven churches. And this morning, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is still in the business of walking up and down aisles and through pews and stopping by people's way and saying, come home, come home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. He was searching for her. She was sought out. I'm glad for the day that the Savior came a-walking by my way. Amen. He sought me out. Amen. He saved me by His grace. And He said, Brian, I know you was raised in church your whole life. I know your daddy was a Baptist preacher. I know you went to church ever since you was a little boy. But that don't matter. I'm coming by your way because you'll go to the same devil's hell that the drunk will go to, as the child molester will go to, if you reject Jesus Christ on May the 7th of 1995 at the Bible Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. The sweet Holy Ghost came by my way. He sought me out. He stopped where I was. He troubled the waters of my soul. He took me out on a trip to hell and hangled me over the hell for a little while. And listen, when the invitation came time to be done, listen, you didn't have to sing 17 verses of Just As I Am and the amen try to manipulate me to come to an old-fashioned altar and get born again. The Holy Ghost had done passed by my way, showed me my need, and I got born again. Amen. He changed my life because He's the one that sought me out. I'm glad He sought me out this morning. Listen, there's nothing like the merciful Father in heaven that says, come home. She was sought out, but then in chapter number 3, verse number 2, verse 1, she was sought out, and then in verse number 2, we find that she was bought out. Hosea bought her out. This woman had gotten so messed up, Gomer, had gotten so messed up that what was once a woman that enjoyed freedom, which was once a woman whose life was on the right track, as she's now degraded so low that she is literally a slave. She's in bondage. You see, he has to buy her. She walks away and leaves her true love to enjoy the big city life and all the wine and the men and the song. Oh, how many of our young people have done that? They get to adult age and they see the city life. They see the party and they see the lights and the glamour and all the wonders out there. And they say, I'm not going back to East River Baptist Church. When I get old enough to make my own decisions, I'm going out there and I'm going to have myself a good time. And listen, honey, listen, sir, you will have a good time for a little while. That's why they do it. Somebody said, well, it ain't that fun. It is fun. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Her life is so degraded. Here she is. But after a while and living in sin, you find that she can't keep up with the outgo. She can't keep up with it. Her income is never enough to pay for the outgo of sin. And by the way, your income will never be enough either. There's never enough money. There's never enough time. She's now turned herself to slavery and she's now on the auction block for the highest bidder. She finally runs out and she doesn't have enough money to pay for her sinful pleasures that she has finally had to sell herself into the slave traffic business. to be the lustful desires of any old lustful, carnal, filthy, wicked, ungodly man who would go by and buy her. So Gomer once had freedom. She once had peace at home, and she's now in bondage because sin is not liberating. Sin will always put you in chains. It never sets you free. They go out there because they want freedom, but in reality, they're running to chains. They're running to the prisons of sin. Listen, the devil never shows you the other side of the billboard where all the wine and the women and the song and the good time of Budweiser, which really just makes you a whole lot dumber. It's not Miller High Life, it's Miller Low Life, isn't it? And all the wonders of this side of the billboard and the fun and all the lights and the glitter and the glamour, they don't show the other side, do they? The devil don't show you the little children that'll go to bed tonight hungry because daddy spent every dollar down at the bar on liquor. He won't show you all the homes that are busted all to pieces because of a liquor bottle. He won't show you the children that have been flayed alive down the highways of America because some drunk driver hit them head on and took the life of an innocent family. They don't show you the real side of sin, and sin never sets you free. It only leads to bondage, and that's where Gomer finds herself. Sin promises if you walk contrary to the preacher and you walk contrary to the Word of God and what mom and daddy taught you, it says just do your own thing, live your own life, and it'll be a life of freedom. But it's a lie. It's a lie every time. Could you imagine it here? Gomer stands on the auction block in the dirty slave market. The woman who was once free and had a husband that loved her and children that loved her, now she stands there. Her clothes are all dirty. Her clothes are all tattered, and here she is, her hair is all tangled, and it's all matted and greasy, and it's fallen down in her face as she covers her face with her hair. She stands there trying to hide all the shame of sin, but there is no hiding it, because there she is for everybody to see. Life's a wreck, blown all to pieces, and there they all see it. They all see it. And here she is as the auctioneer stands up there. He says, who'll start the bidding on this woman? Who will start the bidding on this woman? And the bidding begins to start. Do I hear 10 pieces of silver? Do I hear 10 pieces of silver? Anybody holler 10 pieces of silver? And there's a man hollers 10 pieces of silver. I'll give you 10 for her. He says 10 going once, 10 going twice. Who'll give me 11? Somebody says 11. 11 pieces of silver. I'll give you 11 pieces of silver for her. She sits there thinking, oh God. Oh God, what awaits me? I wish I'd have never left home. I wish I'd have never left my husband. I wish I'd have never left Hosea as somebody that loved me and somebody that I rejected. And here I am. I kicked him away. I wish I'd have never left. I wish that I could go back and change the choices in life that I made and the consequences of my life. Look at where they've left me. I'm standing up here on the auction block. I've lost everything. And now I'm being sold to the highest bidder. Who'll give me 12? Who'll give me 12? 13, anybody 13, the bidding goes up to 14. The auctioneer says, 14, that's a good price. That's a good price for this woman. 14 going once, 14 going twice. But just before he slams the gavel down. 14 going once, 14 going twice. Just before he slams the gavel down, we hear a voice that's an unmistakable voice. A voice that only she would recognize. It's the voice that she had heard before. It's a voice from her past. It said, I'll give you 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Yes, I'll give you 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley. When she hears that voice, her heart skips a beat. She's standing there. I could see her as she watches the one that she had left brokenhearted, the one that she had walked away, the ones that she had rejected, as he walks up to the auctioneer and he pays every last penny. And the homer and a half of barley. It's everything that he had in his pocket. 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley. He empties out everything that he had. He totally gave the best that he had. And he laid it up there in front of the auctioneer. And he says, amen, I've come to take you home. Oh, listen, amen. I want to say thank God for that day as he slammed it down and he turned to Gomer that day and he said, as he wrapped his arms around her, said, honey, I love you. Honey, I've come here to take you home. Let's leave the past behind. Let's, amen, have a clean slate. And I've just come to take you home. I'm not going to bring up the past. I'm not going to ask you what all you've done. I've just come here to get you just like you are, but I'm not going to take you back, amen, and leave you the same way I found you this morning. Oh, listen, thank God for that day. That day when the heavenly Hosea found us. Amen. The world and the flesh and the devil had bit us out, used us up, but somebody already paid a price and said, I've come to take them home. He sought her. And then he bought her. And then I want to just say this, and I'm finished this morning. In chapter number 3, in verse number 3, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. He doesn't just seek her out and buy her, but in this verse here, he brought her. He sought her, he bought her, and then he brought her. He went and got her and brought her to him. And he didn't just commit her to himself, although he did that in the first part of the verse. You find that he commits himself to her. Did you see the last part? He said, thou shalt abide for me. He said, you belong to me now. And he said, for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot. He said, you don't belong to any other man. You're mine. He said, you're not allowed to go out there anymore. You're only mine. He commits her to himself. But in the last part, I love this. He said, so will I also be for thee. He not only commits her to himself, he commits himself after all that she has done to her. And he brought her to where he was. Aren't you glad there's a God in heaven this morning that does not repay us like we deserve? You know where we all deserve to be this morning? In hell with our back broke. Amen. And some of us have gotten over it. We've forgotten where we were when the Savior walked up and down a pew where we sat. He stopped by our way. He called our name out. And we had all the excuses in the world, but he didn't take any of them. And he found us. He sought us. He bought us. He paid everything. He paid everything. He said, what did he pay? His son. Jesus Christ was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then he brought us out. He didn't just leave us where he found us. Can I say this morning? If you say you got saved and you're still living the same way that you were before he stopped by your way, supposedly, you didn't get the same salvation that Gomer got. Amen. You didn't get the same salvation that the Bible teaches. Amen. Right. He brought us out that he might bring us in. Yeah. Hey, listen, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yeah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I don't preach doubt. I don't try to get people to doubt their salvation at all. I don't like that kind of stuff. And I don't believe in retreading, and I don't believe in trying to get people to pray prayers, amen, these false empty professions, amen. Listen, but I'm telling you, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul said, will change your life. It'll change your life. Somebody said, if someone as big as God moves in, you can make a difference, amen. It'll make a difference in your life. She went home, and she went home with him. I'm going to ask my wife to come sing the invitation this morning. I'm going to turn it over. But this morning, I don't know how you do things around here, but this morning, if you're not saved, I wouldn't sit there. I wouldn't sit there like you do every week. Amen. Maybe this morning there's your heart's pounding, your palms are sweaty, your mouth's dry because you're nervous. You know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost dealing with you. This morning, if you've never been saved, why don't you get up out of your pew this morning and come down here to this altar. Come talk to me. Come talk to Miss Hoots, wherever she's at in here this morning, or Miss Tucker. Amen. Go find somebody. Go find somebody. Talk to them about your soul. Amen. I wouldn't go to hell for anybody. Amen. You say, I've already prayed a prayer and it didn't change your life. Maybe you didn't get it. I don't know what you got this morning. I don't know what you need. And this morning, church, maybe
Maybe you're here and you are saved. You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. But you've wandered out there in the world. And this morning the Spirit of God says, why don't you come home? Maybe you're home. Maybe you're living right. Maybe everything's right between you and the Lord. But maybe this morning be a good time for you to get up out of your pew and find you a place down here at these altars and say, Lord, thank you. As I preach, you went down memory lane and you remembered where you were. You remember when the Savior came to where you were. You were just like Gomer. Your life was a mess. Everything had fallen apart. And He came to where you were. Amen. And He paid the price. And He sought you out. He bought you and He brought you. Amen. It's been a long time since that day. Maybe this morning you say, Lord, thank you. I'm going to pray. And she's going to sing. And I'm not going to try to manipulate. I'm not going to try to plead. Whatever God told you to do, do it this morning. But I tell you what, He's the worthy one. He's the worthy one. Amen. And as Mary said to that crowd there at the wedding of Cana, she said to that crowd, she said, whatever He says to do, do it. That's my plea to you this morning. Whatever He told you to do this morning, do it. I'm going to pray. She's going to sing. And then you come if the Lord spoke to your heart. Father, we love you this morning. We sure thank you, God, for the drawing of the Holy Ghost. God, for that breath of God that breathed on us that day. We were lost. We were just like Gomer. And our heavenly Hosea came to where we were and sought us out, bought us and brought us. And God, what a triumphant search that was. And God, we stand here today as trophies of grace. And I pray for the East River Baptist Church, if there's anybody here that was listening to the preaching, whether it be an old person or a young person, teenager, middle age, God, Lord, if they're not saved, they've never been born again, life's never been changed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray this morning that they would walk down this aisle like I did May 7th, 95, and get saved by the grace of God. And Lord, those of us that have been saved, may we find a place and just say thank you. And Lord, if there's any child of God that's out there in the world that you saved them out of, I pray this morning, God, that they would come home, because there's no place like home. We love you this morning. We thank you for your goodness to us. Bless now the invitation. Have your will and way in Jesus' name.